Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my fabulous co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Good evening, everybody. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all that.
Yes.
We're still at it here.
We're still at it. Tonight's show, The Shadow, continues, as always, the healing the wounds between the masculine and feminine. And tonight we're going to discuss the shadow aspects of each and how the new energies are supporting the integration of these energies from the shadow into the light. We had, of course, a very profound thing happen today, and so I'd like to dedicate tonight's show to the memory and peaceful passing and positive outcome for the earth of Benazir Bhutto. I'm going to quote something from Celia Fenn that came out today, and thank you, Squirrel, for always sending me up-to-date things. The passing of Benazir Bhutto. So the chaotic energy and the surges manifest in events that will change the shape of Earth's manifest destiny.
Mm-hmm.
The loss to the planet of the first woman to lead a Muslim country is no small event. She was a brave and beautiful woman and a fearless leader. She will be missed. How will this affect the planet's unfolding path? We have yet to see. I've been told by Archangel Michael that the events unfolding in Pakistan are crucial to the evolution of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
We can only hold our own inner peace and keep our confidence in the manifestation of the new earth. All is in divine order and all is as it should be. So I thought that, again, this was an incredibly profound experience today, and certainly the loss of her and her courage, you know, to stand out there. For those of you that don't know, she was assassinated today. She was in a crowd of people and standing up through the open roof of a car. She was shot in the neck, and then the man that killed her killed himself and about 20 other people. I guess he had a bomb on him. This is a perfect example of needing to heal the wounds between masculine and feminine on our planet. So how is all this reflected in our world and our shadow? That's one absolutely glaring event. And for each of us, you know, there's an unhealed relationship with both the masculine and feminine, whether it's mom or dad or love relationships, which always relate back to mom and dad. More importantly, though, it's really about healing the masculine and feminine within ourselves and embracing the divine masculine and feminine within ourselves. And, you know, the question, of course, for everybody is, where does this show up for each of us?
I think it's interesting that we have so much fear about the power of the feminine, and here's an icon, you know, who raised her head and led people and did her best in a very powerful feminine style, I gather.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely she did. And this is a time, I mean, we've known that the feminine was opening in very, very powerful ways. And there is that fear. Veronica, I couldn't agree with you more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've talked about this a million times, but, you know, there of course was a time on the planet when it was the goddess. We moved into the male chauvinistic paradigm where all, you know, I mean, the Catholic Church went around and built churches on top of all of the goddess temples, you know, all over Europe, and tried to eradicate the power of the feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And out of fear, out of nothing but fear. And even to the point, you know, of if we go back to the basics of taking out the power of Mary Magdalene, you know, in the Bible, you know, only, 67 or so did the Catholic Church finally indicate that what they had done is made a composite of Mary and several other women. It was because she was too powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no place for the powerful feminine anywhere on the planet. It wasn't really accepted. You know, they've pretty much been reduced to courtesans, and of course now with, you know, the Da Vinci Code and so on, and the whole question of, you know, were Jesus and Mary actually married, and, you know, the on the newsletter that's coming out for the first of the year, when I can get to it, There'll be a link on there to the Pacina Blue Star, which is absolutely a stunning piece. I recommend all of you, you know, watch it. And it's about this very thing, about this rebirthing of the feminine on the planet. And it's really, it's riveting. It's absolutely riveting.
I'm looking forward to that. This is a slightly different point of view, but one of the things my guides were encouraging us to do quite a bit last year was send light and prayers to the women in the Taliban camp, because they kept showing us that there were several women whose ability to re-nurture the rage of certain men could actually change the outcome of how the Taliban was functioning.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, and it actually, you know, you always set up lights and prayers for specific subjects, and I really like that one. It doesn't have to just be for the Taliban, but it sure reminds us of that intuitive feminine might, if you will, you know, unpointed might.
I love that. And, you know, on a CD that I've talked about quite a bit, Michael Ledwith, called How Jesus Became a Christ, there was a quote in there from Jesus that you won't find in the Bible, where he talks about women and the honoring of the feminine, and that women are here to tame, you know, for all you men out there, I'm sorry, the beast-like heart of men, you know. So,
but that requires a lot of feminine solidarity to really do that with a conscious wave around the world, doesn't it?
Oh, I don't think there's... again, I see the reverse chauvinism an awful lot, and you probably do too, Ronnie.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get into that later in the show here, where it's really showing up in the session. Where women have worked so hard to become empowered and powerful and, you know, spiritually adept and so on. And I see, unfortunately, kind of a reverse chauvinism coming up here, where there is, in fact, there's a good friend who does incredible energy work, and we were talking the other day about the powerful feminine who it's actually becoming a new archetype that wants to dominate the masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And actually wants to conquer them, and kind of a retribution kind of situation. You know, I'll show you. They're not even consciously aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, this gets into the whole vulnerability piece that we'll talk about later, because it's. I see it. I definitely see it as reverse chauvinism, and you know, that's not the goal here. I mean, especially right now on the planet, the goal is, you know. And Benazir did not come out that way. I mean, she was definitely a Muslim leader as a woman, you know, a very tough place to be on the planet. So she's, you know, she will be sorely missed. She will be sorely missed. So, so I really want to get into, because tonight's show seems to be really apropos for this time. Because the masculine and feminine are definitely up, and they're up everywhere. And everywhere I look, certainly in my own life, you know, my whole family, I'm seeing it in the sessions, all the sessions, healing this stuff, healing it, healing it, healing it. It's so deep, it crosses through all of our human lifetimes. So, you know, let's talk about our own relationships. But, you know, some of this stuff, you know, we've talked about over and over again, but I think now, since we've had all of these really powerful openings, it's really floated right up to the surface in a big way. And I was talking with Pearl the other day, and she was talking about being out and about, and she witnessed, I may misquote her here, but there were two different situations where one was a mother berating her son in public, and another was a woman berating her husband. And, you know, and I just think that this is another example, you know, of of the anger that women have had towards the masculine for being suppressed and repressed. And, you know, that's not the answer anywhere. And nor is that other side of that, flip side of that, which is the fear of the feminine, where you want to kill it or control it or destroy it. So, you know, let's talk a minute about how this is playing out in our own lives and, you know, how do we heal it within us? Because that's really the goal here, is how do we embrace our own masculine and feminine and love it? Because we cannot heal it outside of ourselves if we don't heal it within ourselves. That's really the bottom line, because the mirrors, you know, the reflections, the projections are going to keep coming at us over and over and over again. So I'm just going to talk about myself here for a minute, and then I'd love to hear your side of this too. Okay. You know, I had a father that abandoned me at 5 and a mother that abandoned me over and over and over again my entire life, the whole time she was alive. And it was so orchestrated that, you know, I had to keep looking at it and know that it was absolutely a role that she took on, as did my father. But for me, I recognized that I had to heal both the relationship with masculine and feminine, not only, again, within myself, but outside of myself, you know, in all relationships. So my imprint primarily was abandonment by both. And so in my own case, what I did is I attracted men who were not trustworthy over and over again. But I did the same thing with women. And the bottom line was, who did I have to heal? Was me. I mean, there.
And you mean you weren't here to heal the whole group?
No. And of course, I carry this imprint, so I was a magnet for the experiences. You know, when we get this imprint, we continue it on and continue it on. And so, again, and the twist of this, okay, is that when we carry that imprint of abandonment or the real unhealed masculine and feminine, who leaves all the relationships? We do. I did. You know, women or men, because I could always see when it was going to turn upside down, not realizing that I was the creator of the experience.
Do you think you could have gone through it and then recreated the outcome, made it different, even though you were attracting people from an abandonment thing? Do you see what I mean? It's like,
once I healed it, I could. But yeah. I couldn't do it until I healed all the abandonment stuff.
And you may not have been able to do it in those particular relationships which were sliding into your shadows.
No, I would agree with that. Yeah. Because the relationships were unhealthy anyway. Because they're coming from that unhealed part of myself. So I'm healed. I'm attracting people that are so unhealed, I'm not going to be able to heal them. Okay?
Right.
I can only regroup, heal me, and then start attracting new kinds of experiences, which I finally did in my life. But that doesn't mean I'm totally healed. I would never say to you, oh, gee, I'm healed. You'll follow me.
I think the art of living, whether you're on this side or that side, is healing, right?
Yes, I hate to tell people it never ends.
I like to tell them that, because then we can all kind of relax a little bit.
Well, yeah, I think it was Abraham who, you know, it makes me laugh, who says, you'll never get it right and you'll never get it done. And
oh, good, we're just fine. We're just work in progress.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
But actually what you're talking about most of these weeks is that as we do it, we really send the waves into the shadow, and that's a big deal.
Well, really, and so what does this have to do with the shadow? And, you know, these painful experiences that we've all had, everybody has had them. I'm sorry, I don't know anybody yet that's exempt. Jesus, you run into anyone, Veronica, send them to me. I'd just love to talk to them.
They're usually not interesting enough to be attracted to us. looking for the puzzle here.
I think, and I'm really seeing this one right now, is that we bury these experiences in our shadow, along with all the dark and the pain and the hurt. But we also bury the light and the treasures. And for the experiences that we haven't been able to heal, there's still some treasure there. Now, Lazarus has talked about this. And trust me, I've looked at some of these and thought, I'm going to have to look long and hard for the treasure on this one. But there is, and the more we understand, you know, that I've said it, the team has said it, there are no small relationships right now. Everybody is huge in our life, okay? I mean, everybody is a major player this lifetime. This is the big one, the really big one. And anybody that's in your life experience right now is carrying something really big for you. I don't care who they are. You know, I'm going to go back and talk about the fellow I went to dinner with who delivered in one evening a piece that helped me heal my ex-husband, who I've been divorced from for 20 or 21 years, in just an evening dinner conversation.
That's great.
Yeah. So, so you know, I'm... And I'm listening, I'm like Frasier, I'm really listening to you. So, so you know, I'm going to talk about this because this is something I did a long time ago and I've worked with for a long time. And it's about writing a timeline of your life and your experiences with key people. And I actually started this really diligently. I did it years ago. And then when I started working with the team, that's when we started working with the screens and, you know, how are we going to work on the different kinds of screens and what they do. And when they first brought the screens in, I laid on the table and I just started reviewing my whole life and allowing each painful memory to come forward as they were running the screens. And that's how we determined what kinds of screens they would become and what specific energies they would have, you know. And it was incredibly powerful for me to do that kind of a life review, you know, what was, you know, beginning in childhood, each really, I mean, you know, we can't remember them all. I mean, we all...
Thank
know.
Heaven.
Yeah, thank heaven, you're right.
We get the gist.
But doing a timeline, you know, of your experiences with key people and beginning in childhood. And, you know, I mean, you don't have to write out the whole thing unless you're very diligent. I know some of you listening are. God bless you. But going back and reviewing, you know, why were they in your lives? What was the experience about? You know, is it part of, and what I'm really seeing, certainly in the session, is how we repeat over and over and over again the focuses that we've come in to work with have shown up in our life over and over and over again. You know, different people, different situations, but basically the same emotions. And then, you know, sit down with your higher self and your guides, go into meditation, and ask them to help you discover what the treasures were there. And look at what you've disowned, especially masculine and feminine. You know, if we're mad at boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives, sons, daughters, and, of course, the ultimate parents, and, of course, God, you know, standing right at the top of the list, why? You know, what part of us did we disown? What part of us did we give away? If we're mad at, for whatever reason, or angry at, dad, we'll start with dad, okay? There's some part of the masculine that we're not going to be able to embrace, the loving, healed masculine. We can't, because we reject our experience with that parent so totally that we reject all of it, the light and the dark. So we basically throw the baby out with the bathwater. How about you, Ronnie? I just kind of...
I have a whole thing about dominance by... this started when I was very small. People who told you how to live, but they were unhappy and angry. I said to myself, I'm not going to be like that when I'm big because the people who know how to live are kind of angry and mad and sad, right? And I applied that to God. I always loved God as a little kid, but I used to tell him that I thought he was a bit stupid because a lot of the people that he made in charge of us, the nuns, were really furious and were doing absolutely crazy things, you know, fairly abusive things. And my father was really a lot of fun. Everybody just really loves my father, but he was definitely looked good, but was never there for us. We, you know, you couldn't talk to him about anything. You know, that kind of person.
Right.
So he was kind of missing, even though he looked good. And my mother was very upset all the time and was kind of, was a pretty tricky person to know. So I did not trust the feminine. I always thought the big women hurt. All big women hurt. So I was kind of a little tomboy and a bit of a rebel, you might say.
Yes, so, we do know that part of you, yes.
Well, anybody who was telling me, anybody who was dominant or a leader or a teacher, I watched like a hawk. You see what I mean? Just sort of like, I think that imprint ran through my whole life. And one other thing, as you were talking about the timeline.
Wait a minute, can we back up a minute?
Sure.
So did you see this as an abuse of power?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the core here was abuse of power.
Yes, huge. And they didn't let me explain. That was a shame because I knew so much, I thought.
So they wouldn't allow you to have your voice?
No, because you weren't supposed to know anything if you were a girl or if you were little.
Well, okay, and here, I see this one as a perfect setup because we know you came in to communicate.
Right, I really was, yeah.
Okay, and of course, if you're going to experience any focus, you're going to experience both sides of it.
Right.
The lack of it first in order to push you, as Abraham says, to create that rocket of desire.
Right.
That makes you want to be a communicator, which obviously that tips you from that level of frustration.
Well, and one other funny thing, Jackie, is that when I was little, I used to watch people because I guess I was extremely psychic, even when I was, you know, very tiny.
Of course.
And I used to watch people. I go, they're all so upset. If they would just talk about what's real, everything would be fine. And I think I was 50 years old, and I finally went, you know what? It doesn't work. You talk about what's real, and if people's ears aren't, you know, if they don't want to know or if their consciousness is not there, they can't hear you anyway, right? So I thought I was hilarious when I discovered that. I went, here I've been prattling away and trying to help the world resolve itself, and nobody really wanted to hear it, you know? Not nobody, but some people.
Well, you bring up a really good point here. And that's the facade that everybody puts on because they aren't healed. And they're terrified for anybody to see who they really are.
And it can make you kind of scary, can't it? When you're being very perspicacious, you're looking right into people and you know exactly what their game is, and they don't really like you for that. That's right.
Well, they say, you know, 85 to 90% of all communication is nonverbal, so people sense if you're seeing into them.
Right.
And they will reject you.
Yeah,
and you and I have similar experiences there because I've watched so many spiritual teachers and leaders, and I also observed greatly the abuses of power. That was one of my things. So
I always thought it was really sad. I used to get very sad, you know, not even angry, just sad about it.
Okay, but now let's go back for a minute, though. In terms of embracing our masculine and feminine, okay, when we see that in other people, okay, then is there a part of us that we disown and disclaim in the process? Was it possible, Veronica, that you disowned and disclaimed the powerful part of yourself in the process?
Oh, you bet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to decide what it was. I know I did not trust the feminine and have been royally betrayed by women off and on. Of course, I'm in the middle of three girls who were set against each other by an angry mother. So that was a perfect setup for that, right? So my mistrust of the feminine has been really strong, if that makes sense. But as we go through this time, I'm realizing how wonderful the feminine is, you know?
Well, yes, of course, as we go through the healing. And because if we're still carrying unresolved anger or hurt with people that we can't fully heal and embrace, that part of us, whether it's the masculine or the feminine, and then what that is, we aren't able to love fully. It's impossible.
Because you're so defensive and...
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, we are not able to love ourselves fully. So it's impossible for us to love anyone else. Because we still have these denied parts of ourselves. You're a man or a woman.
And I'm thinking about, like, for example, the soul journey. And the thing about betrayal and the feminine has been huge for me. But I think there's something else, which is the power of the feminine has also been growing with it. Not just recently, but all the way through my life. I was very active in the feminine movement. Not so much a feminist in the heaviest sense, but very much a consciousness-raising kind of implementer. You know, I used
right.
to set up groups for women to empower us like mad, because I think that that's the other gift that came up with it, is seeking that kind of empowerment or knowing it's there somewhere, right?
Well...
That makes sense?
Yes, it does. And, you know, again, regardless of the gender, it is, because I know you talk to so many people this way, too, people who are, how many women do we know that have had bad experiences with men, became very powerful women, okay? But at the same time, I'm trying to look for the words here, have lost their vulnerability, because the truth is they don't trust men.
So it's kind of a defensive power. It's like, if I run everything myself, everything will be okay, and I won't be weak in the face of that combative stuff or the deception.
And if we are able, you know, and this is what I'm very much working with, healing my own masculine and feminine so that I'm capable of embracing that fully in everyone in my life. Recognize, because I see this in men and women, that we carry both. I mean, our goal now is to really embrace both within ourselves and outside of ourselves.
You know, when women first went into the workplace en masse, they just took on all the male attributes at first. It was quite hard on us, wasn't it? Our suits and
well, having dealt with, you know, in my world, you know, where I dealt with all of the top level executives of Chevron Oil and also the major, the CEOs primarily in Las Vegas of the major casinos, and I found that I became very tough.
Well, you'd have to, right?
Well, I had to hold my own.
Mm-hmm.
And as a woman, I had to find a boundary where I wasn't an object.
And I heard also, this is interesting, Jackie, I heard that the great beings that come through smaller blonde women is part of that rebalancing of the masculine and feminine. So there you have it, girl. The corporation.
That's very funny. That is very funny.
And it actually makes sense.
Well, I was just fascinated at Chevron that the men there were just terrified of me. And I, you know, I never fully understand that. I thought it was so funny. The only men that weren't afraid of me were very powerful men. And if they
probably
were,
knew their own side, though, they weren't the flat-sided ones that are only the powerful male without having their inner together, you know?
Yeah, they were very comfortable in who they were.
Mm-hmm.
They were comfortable in their own skin.
And you can see that in people's eyes and faces, can't you, pretty easily?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and you sense it when you're in their presence. You can be very straightforward and very honest and open, and, you know, there's no... there are no games, because these are people who, you know, want to get a job done, and they assess people very quickly, and they know who they're dealing with. They are not into the game playing. Whether they're, you know, a major corporate executive or a spiritual teacher, you know, and we've certainly all seen both sides of that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the spiritual teacher can get just as wacky
as the... Oh, please. Male or female. But until we really embrace this masculine and feminine within ourselves, not trying to dominate, not trying to override others, but really love that within ourselves so that we're not projecting it onto someone. I mean, a big part of my life, I projected my power onto other people because I didn't know who I was. Absolutely did not understand that. So I projected my power onto others, and I would say, aren't they powerful? Aren't they this? Aren't they that? Because I wasn't owning my own power.
Hmm.
Once I own my own power, then I can embrace how powerful people are, but I'm not projecting my power onto them. Do you get the difference?
Yeah, I sure do. I'm just trying to decide whether, I don't know if I've had that consciousness in my work out there, you know?
Well, it wasn't so much, well, in the world, it was very prevalent for me because let's see, how would I put this? And I think a lot of women encounter this, where there are a lot of powerful women have difficulty attracting or whatever, a man who is powerful himself,
mm-hmm.
and comfortable with their own power and comfortable with the woman's power. So there isn't this game being played of who's going to dominate who or any of that. It's about both parties being very comfortable in who they are.
And some of us are late bloomers, but we find each other later on. Having been through the school of, learning self-awareness.
Well, I think in your case, Veronica, and I would say this, you were always powerful. I'm not certain that you were always aware of how powerful you were.
I think that's very true. But I also have to say that parts of me were really, you know, when you talked about projecting, part of me was self-effacing and always looking out there at, I was always pretty self, tuning, retuning. But I still would expect out there to be some kind of, I don't know what it was. I was projecting some stuff. And it's been, I think we're pretty good at sort of getting to know what our inner is in both sides and trying to have a new kind of relationship, you know?
Okay, how are you with your own masculine and feminine now?
Well, once I developed a mustache, I was more aware of my masculine.
Okay, now we're talking hormones.
No, you know what that was? I was selling health foods that I was swigging out of a bottle of antler horn tonic for energy, and suddenly I sprung a mustache, which is... And I was so upset that people around me were howling with laughter, but I was, of course, devastated. So I've done a lot of waxing, but that was just a joke, you know. But it was real, you know. But I know that I'm quite a lot more comfortable with my feminine than ever in my life, because I know that was an area in which I was very wounded. And I think more with my, maybe like you, my masculine, yeah. I've had to work both of them at the same time. I think the way they were imbalanced in me was probably almost equal.
Well, I think mine that was interesting is that I had to protect my feminine.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
In order to be out in the world and not have, because I had that whole sexual thing going.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to learn how to protect my feminine and wall it up so that I wasn't under constant attack. I mean, please, everyone listening, don't think that I'm that full of myself. But in the business world today, and when I was out there and whatever, my other life, it was definitely a... an issue. And I was always kind of ahead of myself. I was the first woman in commercial real estate in Utah. I was the first woman in Utah to own a nightclub. I've always been kind of out there in positions that women had not traditionally held.
Hmm.
And so I was under attack a lot of times. And men had a thing about wanting to prove that you could be had, kind of thing. And so I learned to protect that. I learned to wall that up. Now I'm trying to take the walls down.
Well, that's challenging.
Yes, it is.
Hey, Jackie, is it a fun challenge?
I'm not testing that one, Veronica.
Uh-huh. think actually we spend most of our life trying to take some kind of walls down anyway, don't we?
Yes, we do.
And most people. I don't think it's just you and I.
Well,
maybe just you.
Right now, no. Right now, it's going to be, and I want to talk about a couple of things that are going on with the sessions, because since we've gone through all these openings and while we've been in the midst of them, the sessions have taken another exponential shift. And I'm going to share a letter here from Squirrel, who gave me permission to use your name, that is just phenomenal. And this was a huge turn because Squirrel, like many women, has had real issues with men. Not issues in terms of, please, I'll have to rephrase that. Distrust. And, but here's her letter. The best way to describe yesterday's power retrieval is that my bubble has been burst. My bubble of tears that's been held in my heart chakra for who knows how long. As the team worked with me in my heart sector of pain, I could see what appeared to be a balloon of sorts. And as I kept looking and feeling, this balloon contained the tears that I've held back and back and back. There are many reasons why I chose that protection, as I am certain my mind has rationalized ad nauseum. I've come to learn that it really was a false sense of security based upon fear as I hid from my life experiences. Yes, the bubble was set free, the tears released from their dark, sequestered place. The dam has been opened, and I wondered if I was setting myself up to the vulnerability I so guarded and avoided. And I just want to pause here. This is the big one right here. No, I don't believe this clearing will leave me vulnerable, but rather it will allow me to be in touch with my feelings. Through too many fearful, angry incarnations, I relinquished my emotions for the sake of rejection, as I did not know how to love and respect myself. As the session came to a close, the team said to me, "You are beginning to heal." That brought tears to my eyes, and I let them pour into a bittersweet way from my heart. Thinking from my heart is no longer a concept, but it's becoming my life force.
Wow, that's great.
Let the tears fall where they may. Pass the tissues, please. Whew. I just thought that was so really, really profound.
That line, thinking from my heart is no longer a concept, but it's becoming my life force. I love that. That's really juicy.
It's beautiful. And this is, I think, another indication of this healing that we're all about right now. The team said today that the world as we have known it is over, and so is everything we thought we knew. And
is that good?
God, I hope so.
I'm taking it as really good. I'm excited.
I'm going to, too, because I can tell you that each session has been, they kind of went on here with, we've now moved to a much bigger game where we're also dealing with all of our galactic history as well as our planetary history. And we've known this, we've been kind of in this process, but when they said, you know, what we have known, the world as we have known it is over, and so is everything that we thought we knew, that set me back on my heels, I'll tell you that. You know, and the other part is that for most of us, we haven't even healed our human lifetimes, and now we're expected to heal all these others as well. And
can I ask you something about that?
Yeah.
Because you know, when I did some power retrievals with the team and with family members, and so much of it had a huge impact on my throat chakra.
Yeah.
Couldn't that have also been galactic? You know what I'm saying? Is
of
that?
Of course.
Yeah.
So
it's not really just human lifetimes, it's our cellular patterning, our...
It is our soul. That's a good way of putting it, Veronica. something else they said, it's time for us to accept and love our divine selves, which include masculine and feminine aspects. Without healing of the masculine and feminine, we will only be able to embrace part of ourselves, not the holy whole. H-O-L-Y, whole. I want to give a couple of examples here of what's been going on, because these are all indications of how powerful, I mean, as I said, in just a matter of this last week or two, I've lost all track of time, as I think we all have over the holidays.
It's a vacation from time and schedule.
Yes, it has been. We did a power retrieval today where they brought in the child and adolescent of the client at the same time. So essentially it was the three of them. And we were doing a healing with this person's father. Now, this is the first time they've ever done this. What was interesting is that the child and adolescent, the client said, well, my child and adolescent hate him. I mean, that you could just feel the energy, the emotional energy is moving the minute that we called the father in.
Hmm.
And so we went into the second chakra. And there in the second chakra were lifetimes.
Hmm.
And, well, I've never had this happen before. As always, I've just decided I go upstairs and sit in my chair and I have no clue what's coming. And each lifetime was between this person, this client, and their father. And in each lifetime, there had been something very tragic happen. And it had been the client's fault.
Oh, my.
And during this process of these different lifetimes, you could feel the child, that client's child and adolescent, their realization that dad wasn't mad at them, that dad came in with all this old stuff, these other lifetimes, and all of the stuff that had built up from these other lifetimes. And suddenly it changed the landscape of this lifetime dramatically. And you could feel the healing of the child and adolescent as all this was going on.
My.
As well as the client. It was so, you know, there was so much happening on so many levels. But what was fascinating to me is, because I happen to be one of these, I have the same experience. This client has a child, and this real child, their child, and this child plays out the same agenda that the father did. It's like an Oreo cookie. It's like, you know, dad left off here and the child took up here. And so she's getting sandwiched, and I've had the same experience with my mother and my daughter. I always said I'm in the middle. I'm the cream of the cookie here. And the client made the comment that she had often felt that her two-year-old was dealing with her child, not her adult. So the two-year-old or five-year-old or whatever was trying to raise this child who was very difficult to deal with and responding from the damaged child because this her own child was acting just as dad had. And, of course, I went through the same thing with my own daughter. It took me years to realize when I went in and did all the work with my own child how there had been this same response that she was having with my daughter. I would respond to my daughter as my child would respond, not the adult me. Well, you could call it a bookend scenario. That's probably easier than Oreo cookies.
And why do you think it goes that way?
Obviously, it has to do that I can see with the major healing of past lifetimes and also of, in my case, you know, it was around power. It was around, I know that with my own mother, we had some past lifetimes where she had done some horrible things to me. And really bad, I mean, off the map kind of bad, having to do with power and having me killed and, you know, the reigning over a country and so on. And not that that matters, but the...
What sort of matters, because those imprints really do impact our lives.
Yeah, in this particular instance, I, for whatever reason, wanted to in this lifetime, rise above it. And I don't know what the hell I was thinking. And, of course, I then had this, and I know the lifetime with my daughter that's very significant, and she was hugely competitive with me in that lifetime as well, and did a lot of undermining. So I had both situations, in my case, were situations where they had been very painful, and I wanted to rise above them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why I took all that on. I'm not sure what I was thinking.
But, you know, on another level, Jackie, it's interesting that a lot of us women who are, in quotes, powerful and had, what would we call it, toxic mothers or difficult mothers, have daughters who really challenge us right from being 1 year old, 2 year old.
Absolutely. Well, because if the mother isn't healed, we're going to continue on with the daughter.
Right, okay, so, yeah.
Okay, in other words, we set it up so well that until we heal this, this is going to continue to trigger us.
Mm-hmm.
Until we get to the core of it and heal the core. And I can tell you that now that I've healed the core over here, my daughter may be whoever she is. But in terms of being painful for me, it's not.
Mm.
Now I can see it, I can love her, I can understand, but I allow her to just go about her life. And it doesn't, as she would say, tag me. It doesn't trigger me.
Well, it's interesting because we only did one power retrieval with my daughter, and everything has been much different since.
Well, and there are different
levels. That's
pretty
levels, amazing.
You know, and this is where, you know, we're doing, asking people to be the volunteer, if you will, to go back into that galactic lifetime for healing. And that's working also. But I want to get to this other piece, which is vulnerability.
Okay.
This was a person who was looking for a divine partner, and this has been in her intentions every single session. And she's had a number of sessions. And we're talking like 23, 24 sessions.
Mm.
And she's very diligent about her work. And so what the team said was that what she was asking for, okay, did not match what she really wanted. And therefore she wasn't able to attract what it was she was asking for. And because what she was asking for would require total vulnerability, and she couldn't go there.
Hmm.
Now, I thought this was a really... And boy, I was listening to this one as much as I could. And, you know, I never have time to listen to the tapes, but I do duplicate every session. I have an archive of everything. And so they went on with her about the fact that the planet has gone through such a dramatic change and is continuing to change. And all agendas are now shifting. Everything is going to look quite a bit different because the bigger agendas are moving in such a huge way.
Mm.
And because we're now creating a future for not only ourselves but our planet. So what we would have attracted in the past would not necessarily match what you're going to attract right now. And
well, that's really wonderful, actually.
It's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
But, it, you know, I want to say this because so many women out there are looking to attract a relationship in their life. And they need to get very, very clear that, you know, if they're what they may have been asking for or saying this is what I want and this and this and this, because so many women have done so much spiritual work, they've worked so hard, what are they going to do if a powerful man walks into their life? Where they're used to being the teacher, or they're used to being this or being that, and let's say someone else comes in and they have their own gifts, their own ability to trigger, what does that do? All of a sudden these women, and this is why I was talking about that pendulum swing, where all of a sudden you're not able to dominate or to control, you're really looking at being with someone who is powerful. And if you haven't healed the masculine within you and all your issues around the masculine, you're not going to be able to hang. Does that make sense?
Oh, it sure does. And also, you're very likely to run into somebody who's going to blow you out of the water again because you've got to open whatever that is that's blocking your vulnerability.
Exactly. That's exactly true. And here we go back to healing the masculine and the feminine. So with this person, as they were doing the session with them today, and they got to this person's vulnerability, the whole session shifted when they were talking about everything looking different, and her whole energy completely did, it was just amazing how the energy of the whole session shifted. And her vulnerability came forward, and she just kind of opened, you know, it was just so, it completely shifted her whole perspective.
Wow.
And so, you know, I found this to be fascinating, absolutely fascinating. I want to quote something here also. This also came from Squirrel Gets Some of the Best Stuff, but I can't tell you where it's from right now. I don't have it. As a tumultuous 2007 comes to a close, we reflect, regroup, reconfigure, and dream. Numerological, planetary, and galactic cycles that began in 1999 are ending in these twilight moments before the new year is born. We have a chance to begin again. In the new year, the forms of our lives are shifting from high-spirited Sagittarius into grounded, practical Capricorn. As forms disintegrate, what do we hold on to build on for the future? What's real? What has value? Change is our everyday reality, transformation, the rebirth of Earth and humanity into enlightenment, sacred path. What have you experienced since 1999? Who are you now? Who are you becoming? As the calendar year comes to a close, ask the big questions. Pay attention to your soul's answers. Dream big. And then a wonderful quote from Nietzsche. You must have chaos within you to give birth to a dancing star. I thought, I just got this just before the show, this last piece, and I thought how, you know, this is where everything kind of falls together.
What have you been doing since 99?
Oh, goodness. Well, my whole life changed. That was after I died. I finally came back into my body in 1999. It took me 3 years. And I had to decide to live again and create a whole new life and build from nothing, actually less than nothing. So, all kinds of stuff. Learning how to be a person again, how to even be here. And you?
My whole life fell apart around 98, 99, and it's probably just sort of coming to resolution at this point.
Wow.
Yeah, I was so vulnerable during those years, and it's been getting stronger since I've gotten involved with Bob and our life, but it's been an evolutionary climb. I won't say it's up all uphill. It's just been a recreation.
Yeah.
I think he'd say that as well.
Yes, I would say the same thing.
Yeah, so that sounds good. I like that little talk about the time. That's great. I'm up for it being brand new.
Well, you know, kind of when they said today that all bets are, I mean, it was just kind of like, what? I'm over here channeling, and I'm on the side, and I went, whoa, wait a minute.
That's wonderful. My guides also added, I think I said this, that it's a really, really dynamic time. That the changes are going to be really fast. And it doesn't mean that they're all bad. It just means the dynamic is terrific this year.
Yes. I don't think that there's any question about that. I just feel that what I'm seeing just in this last week or two, whatever it's been, I'll say week, the amplification of the healing is so great, which means that we are literally being pushed through to brand new levels that we couldn't even dream about before.
How exciting.
And that also means that we can do in a matter of months what may have taken us years and years and years and years to do before. That's how accelerated I'm seeing things be here. And when I can see people's hearts opening to the possibilities, and when I know that they've had lifetime after lifetime, as you know, Squirrel's letter said, of not allowing themselves to love and not expressing their tears. And I, you know, I've seen this in another session I had today. It gives me new hope. And I want to say to everybody out there listening, please understand, some of you took on a lot of collective stuff. And, you know, I have some people that when we do their sessions, they're clearing out collective stuff out of their body, out of their chakras. And they wonder why the hell, excuse me for swearing on the air, they've been depressed. And for those of you who feel like you've just had these huge loads that you've been carrying, it's because some of you have really taken on big chunks of the collective to help heal. Not that everybody hasn't taken on some of it, but some of you have taken on more than others.
That's for sure.
I can tell you that for sure.
But and no matter how you cut it, we are giving service to the collective as we heal ourselves.
Every single person, everything
right.
you heal, you are shifting the collective.
How wonderful.
And Veronica, you need to give your information, darling. We're at the end of the hour.
Okay. I can't even think straight. Tuesday at 4 o'clock, Radiance by Design is a call-in show. It's all about you. And at 5 o'clock, Paradigm Shifters, I think we're going to do part two of my interview with my stepdaughter and me. And it's on BBS Radio 4 and 5 o'clock on Tuesdays. And my website is veronicaentwistle.com. And there's no H in Entwistle, E-N-T-W-I-S-T-L-E.
Of course, you all know it's ethealing.com, and a piece of Veronica and I are in every one of you, and a piece of every one of you is in us. It can be no other way. We really are all one. Remember, we're entering the year of freedom. This is a big year coming up for everybody. I send everyone my love and blessings because I congratulate you all for having made it this far.
And for just sticking to it. And Happy New Year, Jackie.
Happy
New Year, everyone.
To you, Veronica, and to everyone listening, we love you all. And to Don and Seth, you know, at the station, thank you. We love you for all your work and service.
Wonderful, wonderful work, yeah.
Okay, good night, everyone.
Good night, Jackie.
Good night, Ronnie.